You are interested, you are engaged, and you are just excellent. And I am not giving you the, well, the patronizing thing. I won't use that expression. Never mind. I've used it before, and you probably know what I'm talking about. We're going to take some of your calls. So if you have some questions, please collect your thoughts. You just got the numbers from Ross, and we'll be right back with our guest tonight. An interesting man, a rational man, Sterling D. Allen, right here on Coast to Coast AM. John B. Wilson with you tonight. Sterling Allen is with us, and can we go back just a little bit? We talked about MP biomass and ECAT and solid state. What about now? Plasm ERG.
Yeah, Plasmerg. It's a noble gas engine that uses on the periodic chart on the right hand side. You have these gases that are called inert. They don't react because all the electron shells are happy. It turns out that according to Joseph Popp, who 40 years ago had an engine that was running on this, apparently goes into a plasma state. And in that state, it actually has a propulsive power. You use electromagnets, magnetism, and you use a spark, a high-intensity, high-voltage spark. And it actually fires like a cylinder, except the difference is you don't have an incoming gas and an outgoing exhaust. Basically, all the elements of the reaction stay in the reaction chamber, and this piston just goes back and forth and back and forth because you may be consuming, for example, one atom per cycle. It, from what we can understand, it is an atomic situation. And the engine has fewer moving parts than a regular engine, so the engine itself is cheaper. And the fuel, you're talking about, maybe $30 for a canister that will last you 6 months of continuous use.
Wow, unbelievable. Now, is this plasma ERG? Is this just a typo? I've got plasm ERG.
Yeah, we pronounce it Plasmerg.
Oh, gotcha.
ERG is an abbreviation for energy.
Gotcha.
So it's a play on words, and it's the name of a company presently down in Vegas, Henderson, Nevada, and they are in process of building a number of prototypes that they'll be using for testing and training purposes for licensees. And he's invited me down for the demonstration in 30 to 60 days. So that's how close they are. Don't know if they'll make that deadline. They've tended to miss a lot of deadlines, unlike the ECAT that's made their deadline so far. But that it's more typical in this industry that things take a lot longer than you would hope. But they are close, and there are other technologies and groups besides them who are pursuing the same technology. So if they don't make it, others will.
Understood. Now, Defcalion, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yep. That's a Greek company, and this is an example of a competitor company to the number one, the ECAT. They actually had a business relationship with the ECAT. They were going to they had a license for the technology for rolling it out to the planet minus the U.S. and the military. And they had a falling out, long story. And they apparently have developed a similar hydrogen nickel fusion reaction process, and they've got some great engineering, a great team of people there. From what we can gather, they've held their cards closer to the chest in terms of giving demonstrations. There have been no public demonstrations of their technology, but they did give the specifications of their technology out last month in a press release. Quite interesting, and they may be more professional in some regards than ECAT, or they could just be running their mouth. We'll have to wait and see. But they are not the only two players. There are about five groups that are, it's like watching a horse race. They're so close in terms of, the scuttlebutt of who's ahead and who's got what. But I can tell you that they are all using a cold fusion process, and it's definitely, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's definitely something going on there. And so that ends our top five with Defcalion. We do have runners-up on, if you go to top5energy.com, you'll see both the top five and the runners-up in some related stories where you get some write-ups about those.
top five energy? Do you spell out five or you use the number five?
We own both.
Okay, gotcha. All right, and for anybody who's looking around at the site, it's freeenergynews.com, not just freeenergy.com, but freeenergynews.com.
Right.
John Hutchison, your friend John Hutchison, our friend John Hutchison, what is he up to now?
He and his now married partner, Nancy Lazarian, they were down in the Gulf. They had a method using sound and audio electromagnetic frequencies to actually diminish the pollution that was put into the water from the oil spill down there. And they had a lot of success down there. They are now moving to Oregon and they're actually looking for a place to stay. If anyone knows, they can contact Nancy. We have her phone number on our website. You just Google her name and our website. They want to stave off the Fukushima fallout that's coming to the West Coast. His technology has a very far-reaching effect. She posted a video about a month ago of a pond nearby where they were staying, where they had run their generator, and you can actually see the frequency pattern in the frozen ice from their device, emanating from their device.
Good grief.
Fascinating stuff.
You know, anytime people start talking about radiation, large number of people, their eyes roll back in their heads. I think a lot of people just really don't want to hear about it, but we know that it's drifting our way, but you have a line on how much is drifting our way, I know that there were, you know, we've all heard by now there are 14,000 extra deaths as a direct result of it, and mostly children ages 1 year and younger. You have any information on that at all?
This goes into this whole thing of the powers that be. Nuclear is one of the darling technologies of the powers that be because it's very grid happy. I mean, you have these 2 gigawatt power plants that take billions of dollars to build, and a lot of government money that goes into them.
Right.
Very much part of the establishment. So if you make them obsolete, then there goes the power that be. And so they don't want to discredit cold fusion. I mean, not cold fusion. They don't want to discredit these nuclear power plants. And so if they exposed how bad of a disaster the Fukushima incident was and is continuing to be, then they shoot themselves in the foot. So that's, again, something you're only going to hear about in alternative media and programs like Coast to Coast and Alex Jones and others.
Info. You know, not everything that comes out of every medium is going to be 100% correct. But you know what? If you don't talk about it, you never find out what's real and what's not. As long as there's this veil of, well, let's just not go there. It's just too risky to go there. There's nothing too risky to talk about on this program. That's why I love it. And I feel honored to be here talking with you with all of these millions of what I like to call our closest friends, because these things aren't going to be talked about anywhere else.
It's a great honor for me to be part of your maiden voyage. Congratulations on being an official part of the Coast to Coast team now. You've hosted a few shows before, but now you are officially. I listened to the segment last night where George Norrie kind of did a brief little segment with you, and you're now part of the team.
Isn't he just the best? He was so gracious and very kind. He's a great man.
Yeah.
All right, one more colleague of yours, John Searle. And what about this Searle effect generator replicated before anything happens?
Yeah, Searle effect generator would be of particular interest to the Coast audience because this is an anti-gravity technology, and it may be that a lot of the UFO craft we see floating around are of man's origin and may have derived from John's technology that they absconded, put him in jail for stealing electricity from the grid, which he wasn't. He was generating electricity at home using this technology, and he was flying craft around the planet. He was put in jail wrongfully. He came out, and he's been trying to replicate it, and In the last 5 years, there's been a group of people who have wrapped themselves around him and actually, you know, a year ago, incorporated. They've been getting funding, and they're actually very close to replicating the Searle effect. And we're looking at just basically limited by funding, and they're looking at, you know, between 400,000 and about 2 million to get that fully replicated within 9 months. So they're very close.
Now, listen, I'm not trying to play around here. You did just say he was flying craft around the planet?
Correct.
I hope somebody was shooting, rolling some video on that.
Yeah, there's an excellent documentary about that. I apologize to Mr. Lockerman who wrote that or did that documentary. I think it's called the John Searle Effect or the John Searle Story. Excellent. Actually, you had Coast to Coast had him and John on your program talking about that documentary.
I'm going to do some follow-up on that. I'd like to see it myself.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Well, would you like to take a call? Because some people would certainly like to talk to you.
Let's do it.
All right, Wild One, Ray in L.A. Come on to the bridge and speak with us, Ray.
Hey, I'm on the bridge, man.
All right.
How you doing, John? How you guys
doing? All right.
Yeah. Talking about a lot of energy here. Yeah, you know, this whole energy thing is... Man, it's out of control. You know, there is an agenda, an evil agenda, I must say, you know, to enslave all of us into these power corporations and, you know, monsters that, you know, want to screw all of us into the ground, you know, starting with the blood-sucking oil companies, you know, that, you know, this pipeline thing that the president didn't sign for, and I'm glad he didn't, because it once again it goes to Texas, and the big oil in Texas, they don't give a damn about the people. They just want to charge us more money at the pump, and then they sell the oil to the Europeans or whoever at the highest bidder, you know. So
gotcha.
And I think China should take that oil, that sand oil. They've already invested billions of dollars in that. I heard something, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. The Chinese had already invested money in that sand oil. They want to take the entire oil of the planet, and I hope they drink it.
Okay. What's your question for Sterling Allen?
So my question for Sterling is, you know, like, can you guys do a show on these chemtrails? Because this is the stuff. I drove the other day from Palmdale to L.A. They were all over the place, man.
We'll have something for you pretty soon.
Sick. I stopped the car on the freeway when I got out to look, and this made me sick. These people are spraying stuff, and we don't know nothing about it. I hear George and Ori talking about
this. It actually ties into energy, and it's one of
Thanks,
the geoengineering things where they're trying to block the sun's rays from hitting the earth and the so-called global warming, and by establishing these, you know, putting stuff in the fuel of jet planes against the knowledge of the pilots. So as they're flying around, they're basically kicking up these particles that make these clouds that expand and basically block the sun's rays. It's a geoengineering thing, the best I can understand. It's not a poisoning of the earth, because that doesn't make sense, because that affects everyone, including them. Why would they do that?
Good question. All right. Now let's take another one. How about Jerry in Spring, Texas, where the devilish oil is? The Texas tea is grown or harvested or whatever. We burn it. Right.
Okay. It's good to talk to you there. So I've been wanting to ask you a question. You and Ken to Orson Welles?
Actually, I am.
That's good. I thought your voice sounded so much like it when I used to listen to it when I was just a kid.
Well, I'm going to start packing myself with linguine so I can begin swelling and towering.
I watched the Science on a Science Channel. Or it was the Green Channel, on which they had a documentary on cold fusion. And they explained why the college up there couldn't make it work. And it boiled down to they was trying to use regular salt water. And regular salt water's got so many minerals in it, such as zinc, gold, copper, and palladium and everything else. It was neutralizing the reaction. And the only way you can use it is to use distilled water and highly distilled salt.
Does that jive with your understanding, Sterling?
Yeah, he's hitting on something which is a true principle, and that is that cults, when it first came out, was difficult to replicate because they didn't understand it well enough. And if it, even now, you know, even the ECAT and these other competitors don't understand it. They know something's going on, and they have a pretty good idea what it is. It's going to be several years, if not decades, before we have a full understanding scientifically of what's going on in these reactions. And because of the lack of understanding, it has been difficult to have the full, every time, replicate. And that's what makes people like Andrew Rossi phenomenal, is because he's got a device that is working on demand. He doesn't know exactly how it's working, but it is working.
All right. Jeff, Palm Desert, California, on Wild 3, coming to the bridge and speak with us.
Permission to come aboard, sir.
Permission granted. Welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. I have a question and a comment. What cost $583 million is inoperable, and both of the skippers refused to take responsibility? That would be Solyndra and the cruise ship. My point is, I had a point with Mr. Silver saying that we're exporting socialism and anarchy. First of all, I don't believe that to be true. I worked for Cal Edison for 40 years. If you want to look where the corruption is, look at our power companies. Now, we have natural gas that powers all of our buses. It powers quite a few of the water vessels that cruise around here. And what's wrong with that? And then I read a thing that said we paid $130 a gallon for algae-type gas to go onto our ships, that the industry can't meet the production. And I guess my question is, who should handle this? Should it be the government that pays for this, or should it be private industry?
That's a really good question. What do you think about that, Sterling? Thanks, Jeff.
Well, first of all, on the natural gas, there's nothing wrong with natural gas. Natural gas is the cleanest fossil fuel, and it is a great direction of moving us away from pollution toward non-polluting sources. And it is also, you know, Honda, for example, has a way that you can basically refill your vehicle at home, pumping natural gas into your vehicle so you can run on natural gas. It's a great technology. It's not as clean as some of these other exotics that are coming out, and they will become obsolete, gratefully, because those are limited resources that will run out. With a caveat that there are, when you go very deep, 3,000, 5,000 feet, it's possible you're getting abiotic reactions going on in relation to the mantle, way below the level of any fossil.
Gotcha. Hold your thought, and let's finish up. We got a hard break coming, and we'll take some more of your calls. Everybody just hold your position. We shall return with Sterling Allen on Coast to Coast AM. You can also shoot an email to me at johnb@coasttocoastam.com, J-O-H-N-B as in Bravo, @coasttocoastam.com, and I read them all, and I'll relay as many as possible and respond to as many as possible. I read them all, and even the spam sometimes, but not often. Anyway, we will continue our discourse and some more of your calls very, very shortly. Just hold on for 2 minutes, and we'll be back with Sterling D. Allen and, again, your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. And Sterling, have we already covered this, but who is actually paying for the advancement of today's biofuels?
You know, that's a mixed bag, because biofuels can compete with food sources driving up food prices.
Gotcha.
Really quick, talking about questions from the audience, so to speak, and being badgered by David Weinberg over near D.C., and he brings up a couple things. One of them quite interesting. H.G. Wells had premonitions of free energy in the 2000 Leagues novel, reactor powering Nemo's Nautilus, and an exhaustible power source possibly derived from seawater. There's actually technology that was announced in our news about a month ago, a device called the Luxury Sea over in France, where they're actually running their vessel on seawater so they could run the vessel indefinitely without stopping. It only cost $250,000. But that's getting into the marketplace. So H.G. Wells' premonition is now coming true. And then he also makes the following statement that I passed by Hank, and Hank thought it was good. The big secret that voltage is faster than current, and that fast switching can exploit this, drawing on any source of ambient electrons in the environment, earth, air, water. It's ultimately how all free energy over unity devices work. Bearden was right, establish the dipole and switch so that it is never discharged, shorted, and you can draw free energy current forever. And on he goes. But he wanted me to put that out there in the universe so that those technical people who know kind of along the lines of what he was saying there get their creative juices going in their brains, and so they can advance in their replication of these effects. And so I just wanted to bring up that point from somebody in the audience through Skype.
You know, here's one coming at you, come without a warning like a UFO out of left field. But, you know, governmental structure and dictum is so completely stupid in some ways. Do you foresee that it's like you'll be taxed over the fact that you're not on the grid and that you are using a free energy source? I mean, do you see that ever happening? Because I sure do. Those people are going to have to run their apparatus with something, and I wonder how they plan on getting the money for it. If we're getting our energy for free, do you think we'll be taxed for that privilege?
I think that we can come up with some creative and constitutional ways of taxing energy, even though it's quote-unquote free. When I think of J.P. Morgan turning off the money spigot to Tesla because there's no meter on his free energy devices, I'm just thinking, I mean, they do taxes on our income and we comply with that. Why not do taxes on our energy and have people comply with that? I mean, not everyone's going to do it, but most will. I'm not saying that all taxation is good, because obviously there are some problematic taxations, as Ron Paul so good to point out. But hopefully in an enlightened future, government will play a much smaller role and we will not need as many taxes.
Would you amplify something that we discussed a little bit earlier? Just take a few seconds on this one. What did there are a couple of people who want a clarification on the exporting socialism thing. Can we just jump back to that for a moment?
From a prophetic point of view, the United States is the beast of revelations. We are the ones, this empire that we're spreading throughout the planet is not freedom, it is tyranny. And socialism forces one person to pay for somebody else at the point of a gun, because government is force, not eloquence. And like fire, it is a dangerous master and a fearful, something like, I forgot exactly how that goes, but you don't want it to get above you, because then it destroys you.
Well, let me ask you this now. How would you assuage any offense that any of our servicemen or women might take to a suggestion that they are an operative component in this exportation of socialism?
Well, I think that's why Ron Paul gets a lion's share of the votes of the military. They sense that. They sense that what they're doing is not about freedom. It's about empire, and it's about New World Order. It's about covering the tracks of these conspirators who've taken over our country.
I love our servicemen and women. I'm using the word love here, and I mean it. And I don't want them used as mercenaries.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's not right. That's not part of their creed. They will do their duty no matter what. We know
this.
I think
one of the reasons when things do fall apart, if they do fall apart, and they probably will, at least to a certain extent, and free energy can mitigate how bad it gets. But we're going to see our servicemen and women, the good ones among them, defending us from the bad ones who are trying to enslave us.
Well, you know what they say, Sterling. Every man has the right to say what's on his mind, and every other man has the right to knock him down for it. So, so here we go. I'll tell you what. Let's talk to Valinda in Kismet, New York, on Wild 5. Is she still there? Valinda. I don't hear Valinda.
Hi, yeah, good morning. I'm still here.
There you are. Good morning yourself. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. How are you too?
Not too bad, not too bad. As a matter of fact, just excellent. What's your question for Sterling Allen?
Well, my question is this. I'm wondering if, well, either of you have ever heard of the following device. When I was pretty young, I think it was like early 70s, I saw something on a national TV show, national news show, and it was a story about how the government wanted to help electrify rural Indian reservations. They had a temporary pilot program where they issued a particular device, and it was so successful they were having difficulty getting them returned. What this device was, basically it was like a large shoebox attached to about a four-foot pole. You just push the pole halfway into the ground outside of your house, and you could plug in a few basic appliances into it, or rather, you know, light bulbs, you know, probably refrigerators, something very basic. And it was so successful, like I said, nobody wants to give it back. But the gist of the story was that, you know, the government was debating on whether to send the army in, or, you know, how to get these boxes back, not how to, you know, perpetuate the program or expand the program.
Have you heard of such a thing, Sterling?
I've not heard of that one. I don't have a hard time believing it, but I'm not familiar with that one.
Valinda, if you come up with just a source where we can look into it a little more, we should send an email to johnb@coasttocoastam.com or go to Sterling's website. Which would be the best one if she wanted to send you an email?
Yeah, if you want to go to freeenergynews.com, we have contact links on all of our pages, and I'd love to hear about that. We could do a story about it, get some documentation on it.
Troy's of Fate. It's Kismet, New York. Okay. On the international line, we have James in St. Thomas, Canada. James, come on to the bridge. Speak with us.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, I just wanted to know, actually, I wanted to ask a question and a comment first. Just want to know, how possible is it for individual homes to be, as an alternative source of energy, like energy cells? You know, like if you have energy cells that you use in cars now, how possible is that to use that in homes?
Very possible, but price is a consideration. These fuel cells, vehicles, often are in the price range of $1 million. It works, but it's not plausible.
Well, there it is.
But east there of the are fuel cells,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Along the lines of water fuel, these hydroxy technologies where they're doing electrolysis, where that's going to be very different. It's going to be cheaper than what we get from the grid. And I would guess that we'll see that in beta testing within a year.
Within a year. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right, east of the Rockies, John in Lima, Ohio. Come on to the bridge and talk to us for a minute.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Two quick questions. Which idea is closest as far as funding to being, let's say, at home base? And the second question is it possible that one good idea might eat up the other good ideas? If one and two sound great, why do we need three through five?
Well, first of all, your first question about who's got the most money, and that's one we haven't mentioned yet, that's Blacklight Power. They got $300 million from investment funds, and it's an excellent technology. I don't think they're in a runners-up list, but they should be. They're on our best exotic free energy page. It's a hydrino concept where it's a variation of a hydrogen atom. It's an atomic process, and it may be that these cold fusion reactions are a variation of the black light power process. And so they're in the head of the line in terms of the amount of money that they've gotten among the exotic free energy technologies. And then your second question quickly.
Is he gone?
I eat up another idea.
I didn't hear that part. Say that again, the other part?
Is it possible that one idea might actually wind up eating up the other ideas?
Well, I don't think we're going to be running into market penetration anytime soon with any one technology. I say the more the merrier. Even if all five of the teams that I know of who are working on cold fusion get into the marketplace and are successful, they're not going to be getting in each other's way anytime soon. With how much need we have for cheap, free, affordable energy, not free energy as in cost of the energy, but the source of the energy being essentially free, I don't think we need to worry about competition.
All right, Michael, in Eugene, Oregon, are you with us still on Wild, no, West of the Rockies?
Yeah, sure am. Longtime listener, another great show as always. I'm so glad that you support Ron Paul. I feel like he's the only candidate out there that has any common sense. I think he's going to do much better as he gets the primaries moved to the West Coast in the primaries. I'm surprised that, you do conspiracy shows about conspiracies like the pharmaceutical, the drug wars, and, the Illuminati and everything. I'm surprised that there hasn't been a show about the cannabis conspiracy. And I'm not talking about especially personal use, but, my question is that...
They've covered that on Coast to Coast. I've heard shows about that.
Really? I haven't. I must have missed that one. But how do you feel about biofuel, industrial hemp, being used as biofuel?
That would be an awesome
for other uses.
We actually have a page on our site at PezWiki about hemp and its benefits as a fuel source.
Ron Paul is the one that originally proposed the bill to legalize hemp on the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, as long as we're not competing with food sources, we're fine with biofuels. In fact, it's best to use, waste corn stalks and things like that that you're not going to be using for food that are going to go to waste. Might as well use them for fuel.
We've got time for one more. That would be Ron in Long Island, if you're there.
Hey, John B.
Yes, sir.
Hey, glad to be on board the bridge.
Good to have you.
Listen. This subject is paramount to all other subjects, because ultimately what we are doing is we are fighting wars because of lack of resources and energy, okay? Supposedly. There are other probably reasons not said. But my question is that Tesla's Tower of Power that was supposedly built around the turn of the century, J.P. Morgan shut it down when he found out that he would not be getting, kickbacks on it, taxes, for his industrial complex. Could that tower be built again?
It could, and there are actually groups of people who are trying to restore and redo what he did. And a lot of the free energy researchers in the electromagnetic sector are having limited success in reproducing what Nikola Tesla accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. This has been a pretty quick 3 hours, my friend, and I hope we can do this again very soon. Your website addresses are going to be freeenergynews.com. Be sure and look at the January 20th edition, PESN.com. PESWiki.com and PureEnergySystems.com. Have I got them all?
Yeah, well, there's a lot more than that. But, yeah, FreeEnergyNews.com is easiest to remember. PESWiki.com is where most stuff happens. PESN.com is where our story, our exclusives are posted. But everything is indexed at FreeEnergyNews.com.
Very good.
So that's kind of the best place to go. Appreciate coming on the show. I would be more than delighted to come on a regular basis to give a 5-10 minute briefing about the latest and greatest in the free energy sector during your news segment. So,
well, we will make sure and make that happen, Sterling. Thank you very, very much. Let's stay in touch by email, and then let's just make that happen. All right.
Great.
Well, I got a bunch of people to thank here. Why don't I just begin? I would like to thank just everybody. George Norrie, Lisa Lyon, the executive producer, Chris Boros, George Knapp, Ships Chaplain Ian Punnett, and Rob Simone, Gina, David, and Sean at LA Command, and most of all you, because you are the best listeners on this or any other planet, and I mean it. We are the revolution. As for everybody else, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Let's meet up again at the usual undisclosable location next Saturday night. Until then, be well. This is John D. Wells. Good night.